Hockey talk. Hockey talk. Hockey talk.
In the movies, they always go out and find a kid who's really good to join the team.
Hey, that's right. We need a ringer.
We need a Canadian.
We've seen Fourier on skates before, so all of the talk is nonsense.
They're dinosaurs. They know how to, survive.
I got to shout out Razor. That donut's for him.
Don't worry. I got Bruins plates. People get out of our way.
Au revoir. Have a good game.
Sorry, folks, we don't have Razor's beautiful face to put up on Twitch.
No.
It is 11:25 Aggression Fourier, and he's been joining us throughout the playoffs. And, boy, a lot to unpack with our buddy Andrew Razor Raycroft of WEEI and Nesson. Razor, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Oh, well, you sound like you're in such a good mood.
Yeah, why wouldn't I be? Look, it's perfect outside.
It is beautiful outside.
Yeah,
maybe that's maybe you're just because you're a goalie. I mean, you got to be pretty. I know the goalie community; it's like a secret society. You guys always stand up for each other and stick up for each other. What's Swayman going through right now?
Well, are we talking about his play, his performance?
The fact that he got screwed.
Appearance call last night.
Yeah, that he got hosed.
I believe that there's much more than the goalie community that is on side with the fact that that was obvious goalie interference to the letter of the law, that the way the rule book reads. I'm still cannot wait to hear. Well, I would be curious to hear an actual league official explain it, and not just the email that got sent out last night. Just actually what they saw, how many of the people in the situation room thought it was goalie interference, how many didn't. We probably will never get to that, at least officially, but I couldn't believe it. I can't believe it again this morning. I really can't.
Yeah, it seems pretty textbook. I thought Swayman had a very good explanation of it all after the game. And Razor, I know on Twitter, you right away brought up the rule. Here are the letters of the rule, and it looked like it fit it in every way. So am I to assume, and I'm curious how you read this, that I guess they looked at it and thought that Charlie Coyle kind of flopped and that the contact was incidental? I guess that's what that's the only thing I have left to take away from that. Am I reading it wrong?
Yeah, that and or they thought that Swayman wasn't going to make the save anyways, but that, like, the whole idea that Swayman wasn't going to make the save, you could do that on every goalie interference that's called. And you could, you know, if you're on the opposite side of the decision, you would say, well, I mean, that was a perfect shot. It was going to go in. Like, there's all different ways. So, yeah, I guess that's it. But again, it's such a stretch that it's wild to, it was an obvious cross check in the back to a player that didn't expect it right on top of his goaltender, and then the goal went in. So, I guess that's, if we're stretching to that, Gresh, I think that's kind of the point of how the call is wild.
Agreed. Yeah. So Ray, you're talking about the email that was sent out, last night, where basically they're basically saying that Sam Bennett on Charlie Coyle and the subsequent contact with Jeremy Swayman did not prevent Swayman from playing his position in the crease prior to Bennett's goal. And then we were playing the sound of Swayman earlier, and he was real clever about it, how he couldn't get in position, he couldn't do his job.
I'm sticking to the facts.
Yes,
was his
that
line.
Was I thought that was real cute. Will they come out and explain further, or will they just kind of hope it goes away?
No, I think they're hoping it goes away now. They're going to have to answer to the Bruins, of course. They'll have to, that'll be discussed, I'm sure, again today when everyone gets to Florida. And if it hasn't been on, if people haven't been on the phone all morning about it already. But I guess, yeah, I don't, you don't usually don't hear stuff from the leagues, the good stuff you're never really going to hear. You might hear some more lip service, but the reality is you unfortunate, it went that way for them. And now you got to dig yourself out of this hole.
Our buddy Andrew Razor Raycroft with Gresh and Fourier here breaking down everything Bruins. Then there was the hit on Marchand in game 3. And this video angle, Razor, that seems to have come out, I don't know, 8 hours, 12 hours, however many hours later, really showing that Sam Bennett kind of got away with one I know the NHL already ruled on this. Do we assume they had that camera angle? Where do you land on this whole mess?
Oh, I mean, yeah, like this thing's gone away, you know, gone off the rails, right? Like this is literally all we could talk about for an hour, which is not the way it's supposed to go in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And this would be an issue if the Bruins were on the good side of it as well. That's really important, right? I don't want to sound like I would have these same, we would have these same issues if this was happening in another round. If this was the Rangers Carolina and someone was getting these calls, it's a sucker punch. Like it was very obvious. It was hard to see, but when you saw it, it was very obvious on the first angle. Then the second angle from behind the Panthers net, it's like, oh, there it is. That's even more more solid ground, solid evidence. And then how this tape doesn't come out until 28 minutes before the game last night of the real slow, the real backside angle. And again, my issue is with this, guys, and I liked the era I played in. I liked where you couldn't get away with things without having to have repercussions, and you would take a shot at someone, but you knew the shot was coming back at you at some point. I like that. I'm not against some on-the-edge play in hockey, and I don't want to, be hypocritical in saying that. So I want to preface this. It's a dirty play. And all of the plays that happen in the NHL these days, for that not to be at least, and what bothered me the last couple of days is Paul Maurice and the Florida Panthers going around saying, well, he didn't do anything. I mean, he didn't do anything. What are you talking about? I at least want the league to give the guy $5,000 to a fine, so they have to admit guilt, right? It's kind of like, it was the whole O.J. Simpson thing, right? Like, he was not guilty, but he went to civil court and he was guilty. I just would have loved, at least over the last 2 days, to not hear people say that was a hockey play. And I had people coming at me on Twitter, like some hockey people, and then they see this last replay and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Like, oh, yeah, that was horrible. I just would have liked to have seen the league get ahead of it. So we could all know that it was a wrong play. You don't have to suspend them for 4 games, but just get it right. And I think that's the frustrating part of it. And now we see the angle, and now everyone's saying, oh, that was horrible. And, yeah, of course Brad's hurt. And, well, yeah, no kidding.
So we're talking to Andrew Raycroft. And, okay, so agreed. I love the frontier justice aspect of old school hockey. I do feel like a lot of these hockey guys are starting to flop like NBA players, but that's another question. For another time, yeah. It literally is making me sick. I'm like, please don't infiltrate hockey. Even with the no call on the Bennett goal, it's 2-2. So, and then Barkov gets, which ends up being the winning goal. What after that, do you think that they just kind of, felt sorry for themselves? Or you think these are actually like a more bigger issues with the roster giving up that last goal?
Yeah, perfect. So, yeah, separate all the stuff that's gone on with the refs. So you go, you dig into the game last night. They played really good through two periods, really, really good. And they caught a couple of breaks. They caught a break on Carlo's goal, and they couldn't get a break. They couldn't score another goal in the second. They had 3 breakaways that they don't score on. They had a few other chances. With about 5 minutes left, I'm saying to my kiddo, like, they got to get out of this period with a 2-goal lead. They have to. And then Florida gets their 1 goal on a tough little change, a tough little play right back. It's 2-1. DeBrusque goes down and makes a perfect play, and just so unlucky that puck doesn't find the back of the net, and they don't regain the 2-goal lead. And that's where you really feel like, okay, Florida has an opportunity. They're back in this game. They've dodged a bunch of bullets through 40 minutes. I know the shots were the shots, but Florida's just a high volume shot team. I wasn't concerned about that. And the fact is, the Bruins had 3 breakaways in the second. They only got They only hit the net once, so they only got 1 shot out of those. The best opportunities that any of the teams had in the second. So, looking back at last night, the opportunity was missed in the second. If they have a 3-goal lead or a 2-goal lead going into the third period, we're not it's just a different vibe altogether, and I think the series is tied. So that's what's frustrating to me is that game two, game four, they weren't able to pull away and get that extra goal that I felt like they needed.
Razor, in game one, there was space, and the Bruins were able to operate offensively. Ever since, it doesn't feel the same. What is Florida doing?
Well, again, the Bruins pulled away in the second period and scored three times, and that opens up. Like, I think Florida opened, they were open last night. There was lots of opportunities for the Bruins. Again, three breakaways in one period, guys, in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's more than enough. Like, that's a pretty good crack to walk into, and unfortunately, it didn't go in. And I think there was, you know, it wasn't just a matter of not executing. They just, you know, again, DeBrusque was a great play, greatly executed, didn't find a way in. So it's there. If you break the puck out, if you get the pucks out, if you get a bit of a lead, Florida opens up and there's opportunities for them. And the difference between game one from game two and game four was the Bruins pounded their opportunities home, and unfortunately they didn't the other two games.
Do you think that this is a big talent gap, or is it just execution?
Well, Florida's a deep team. I mean, they've gotten better from last season. They picked up a few players. They have a deep defense. You know, but there's something in, you know, in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the most talented team doesn't always win, and you know, so it doesn't. I don't think it really matters at this point. I guess I think maybe that's a question for July 1st when free agency starts. But you are what you are right now, and of course, not having Brad Marchand in the lineup is you know, doesn't help you. But again, I look at that game last night, and no matter who's on the roster, the talent that's out there, I thought the Bruins had a real, real great opportunity to win it.
Razor, I know this happens more in the NBA in terms of the gamesmanship. There is a little bit of a coach-to-coach in the NHL, but I'm wondering if Jim Montgomery needs to kind of make some pregame comments that sort of ring true in Toronto, that ring true with the officials, that might even force him to have to write a check and be fined. Does someone on the Bruins side need to verbally go scorched earth given what's happened the last two games?
I'm not sure. I don't, you know, I think there's some guys that, you know, John Tortorella, that's his personality. That's what he does. That's how, you know, he responds to things. I think the Bruins have always been pretty, you know, Bruce Cassidy, Jim Montgomery, Claude Julien have all been pretty, pretty conservative in their language at the podium and publicly, especially. You know, listen, it's a whole nother thing on the backside of this. I promise you, they are not just saying the right things behind the scenes here and these phone calls that are, you know, and the conversations that are being had. There can't be a lot of happiness and just go with the flow. I think publicly it's, you know, you got to walk the line and you can't embarrass the league. I don't think that really does anybody any good, especially the day after or 2 days after when you're out of the heat of the moment. So I wouldn't expect too much more than that. The Bruins have to refocus and find a way to win the first period, win the second period, and then win the third period and find a way to get this thing back to game six.
You know, Razor, I want to go back to the first period of the game because I'm curious if you thought how the game started was predictable. I almost felt like they were willing to take some chances and risk penalties early on, at least in the first period, just to kind of send a message. The McAvoy hit, the stupid penalty by Maroon, and the dumb penalty by Pasta, and that all in the first period. None of them, they weren't affected by any of them because they killed off all the penalties, but did you kind of think that was going to happen, they were going to play that way to start the game?
I certainly expected McAvoy to play physical like that hit early on. I didn't think the Maroon one was real dicey. I mean, again, I could probably show you 15 clips of scrums that have had sticks up like that. It wasn't like he, but again, they called it. The Pasternak, listen, this has happened now twice in the first period. Brazeau got it in the game two. Now Pasta gets it in the scrum. Like, they're going down soft. Like, they're going down real easy. Any of these punches, I mean, Lundell, You think David Pasternak was Mike Tyson with that punch. Yeah, I mean, he went down like a sack of potatoes.
The flopping.
So
yeah, it's the flop. The NBA flopping.
Yeah, it was a LeBron flop. There's no question. And so you got to be careful. Listen, that's what they're doing. You can't, you know, either you start flopping or just stay out of it. You know, they can't. Again, it's game five now. You have backs up against the wall. You can't afford to cross the line really in any way whatsoever.
All right, Razor, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it, and hopefully we're going to have lots of reasons and time to continue to talk to you.
So what do you think? Do you think they bounce back game tomorrow, or you think they're Dunsky?
No, they're going to bounce back.
Okay.
They're going to bounce back. I think they've moved this to six. Obviously, it's an uphill battle to finish it off, but one game at a time. They have enough recent history from their opponents to know that you can win game five on the road and find a way to extend series. And I think that's what the Bruins will do.
All right, brother. Thanks for the time. We appreciate you. And we'll talk to you after game five, friend. Thanks.
Beautiful. Have a
there
day, guys.
All right, man. You too. There goes Andrew Razor Raycroft of WEEI and Nesson.